Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you tonight until midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and maybe even join in the conversation yourself if you get a chance. I'll get out those numbers here in just a minute. But before we start that, I just wanted to let you know here tonight that things are a little bit different. I'm not in the studio this evening, and I don't know how I feel about that right now, because as I was telling some people earlier today, this is the first time in over 14 and a half years of doing the program that I have not been in the studio on a Sunday night to do the program. For the very first time in 14 and a half years, over 14 and a half years, I guess, or around about that. It'll be 15 years this August, so maybe it's not quite. But anyway, first time, not been there, feel kind of mixed about that, but there is a reason, and unfortunately, it has to do with coronavirus. So I'll let you know that that's why I'm not in. But anyway, I'm not going to dwell on that too much right now. But so I'm calling from home. I'm stuck here for a while, and so we'll be doing this from home tonight. And I will be doing our Friday program from home coming up this Friday, as well as next Sunday. So that'll take us through that. And then hopefully after that, we'll be back in the studio. So kind of hate that I got to miss two Sunday nights in a row. I've missed a few Fridays over the years, but then had different people fill in or done it from different locations. But like I said, it's first time on Sunday night. Well, pray for me. Pray for our country. Things that are going on. As you noticed, Washington, D.C. looks like an occupied war zone right now. Have you seen any of the footage showing the security fencing up and the thousands and tens of thousands of troops on the ground in D.C. right now? I guess even more coming in. I just saw a thing where Governor DeWine here in Ohio up the amount of troops, guard troops that he's sending to D.C. He just sent it up to about 1,000 troops that he's sending, in addition to the guard units that he's stationing in Columbus to protect the Capitol in Columbus, and to have on hand that they can send them around the state to protect county and city municipal buildings and courthouses and things. Because, well, as the FBI has warned in a couple of major reports now, the Trump supporters are going to rise up in mass, heavily armed and with explosives, and they're going to storm the nation's capital. Not only are they going to storm the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., but they're going to storm the capital in every state. And they're going to storm government buildings around in the various states. And so, if you believe that, well, I got a bridge to sell you. So anyway, no, that's not what's happening. I know a number of people who are heavily involved in the Stop the Steal campaigns and Free Ohio Now and different things like that, and Tea Party groups and We the People convention and all that. They are not planning to storm the State House in Columbus. They're not planning on storming the Capitol in Washington, D.C. This is false information that's being put out there. And so my best advice is, if you are a patriot, steer clear of the Capitol in D.C., steer clear of the capitals of the states, and just watch how this plays out. The Boogaloo movement, it just almost sounds like a made-up name, but unfortunately it's not a made-up group. They're partly behind the story, and they are not Trump supporters. They are not patriots. They are not conservatives in any stretch of the imagination. They're partly to blame for this, but also the left is anxious to tar and feather Donald Trump and his supporters before they leave office. And so they're doing everything they can in order to make it look like Trump and his supporters are a clear and present danger to the United States. And it's like somebody was, I was talking to a couple of people, and they were talking about seeing footage of the horrible people that were in D.C. on the January 6th. And they said, yes, they showed one terrible woman. She was walking down the sidewalk eating a sandwich. You know, she might have actually thrown a piece of lettuce on the ground, I guess, and made somebody slip. But I know this is just, it's beyond ridiculous. And when you put all this together with the effort to throw people off social media and the censorship that's taking place there, it's obvious there is something going on. When there are more troops on the ground in Washington, D.C. right now than there are in Iraq and Afghanistan combined, yeah, something's not kosher here. Something's not right. There's something going on. And these troops, and you can go online, you can look at the video, you can see them. It's incredible. It's a fortified camp around the Capitol building. And I was telling somebody, well, you know, the troops and the fences and the checkpoints are good at keeping people out, but they're also good at keeping people in. So we're going to see what happens and let things play out. Still cautiously optimistic that Donald Trump has some plans, but I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say, yes, this is going to happen or no, that's going to happen, because I don't know. But what I do know is that God's people need to pray for this country. God's people need to pray for President Trump. God's people need to pray that things work out to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in accordance with his plans and purposes. And so we may touch on some of those things tonight a little bit more. But I just want to remind you that you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, we'll see what we can do here tonight. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Lord, we regret not being able to be in the studio, but thankfully we have the technology that we can still do the program this way through the telephone lines and different things this evening. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And Lord, we do pray for our country tonight. Pray for President Trump. And we just ask that you would put a hedge of protection around about him and his family, guide and direct him over these next few days in particular. This is going to be a crisis moment for our country this week. And we just pray that we can come out of it on the right side and in accordance with your plans. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, reminder, too, that I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can link there to some of our social media, and you can also listen to past programs there. And like to call attention to some programs that just up there, we were talking about some of these things last Friday on our Friday program. Also, we had a joint program with Pastor Lutz a week ago Friday. And so you can find some of those things there where we were talking about the inauguration events and things like that. And also links to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And pray for our church. We're a small church. And I just want to thank the people at our church, how they came together. I found out at 5:30 in the afternoon Friday that I would be entering Club COVID for the next 10 days. So I wasn't able to do the Friday night Bible study in person, but the people at our church joint banded together, and I was able to do it on a Zoom meeting type setup, and we got through that. And then they came forward and worked things together, and they were able to take care of services this morning. And then this evening, using Google Meet, I was able to, from home, preach the evening service or evening message. It was a short message, but it worked. So I'm just thankful for technology that we have. So that made it possible. One of the problems when you find out that you can't be in church at the last minute is people who normally might be able to fill in are already booked and already arranged to be somewhere. And so it's kind of hard to do that. So I just thank God that he worked out all the details. So we're planning on probably using the Google Meet. That seemed to work better than the Zoom. And we'll probably use that again this coming Friday night. And our, of course, our church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. That's 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. And we meet in the meeting room. So I will be addressing it remotely. I told our church, I said, boy, I feel like I'm a mega church now, you know, doing remote broadcast to satellite groups. But so we'll be doing that on Friday, and then it looks like we may just go ahead and do that on Sunday as well. So I may be preaching from home Sunday morning and Sunday night. Don't know all the details on that yet, but that's pray for us, pray for our church, and we're hoping that everything will work out well with that. And then I'll be back in the studio, not next week, but 2 weeks from tonight, Lord willing, back in the studio for Late Night Live with Pastor Al. So, all right, yeah. In fact, if we'd got the test results earlier in the week testing positive, then I wouldn't have had to worry about only 1 or 2 weeks. It's only 1 week we would have worried about, but getting it at late in the week, it knocks out 2 weekends. So pray for us. It's a challenge. And pray for the program tonight. Again, like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And bear with me, because I have to depend on Craig to let me know who's on the phone, because I don't have a board in front of me that tells me what's on there like I normally do in the studio. But I believe we said, do we have Kim that's waiting? All right. Well, we'll take Kim. Kim, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening. I have a Middle East question.
All right. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I read an article recently where that someone was making a suggestion, and this guy has a military background or military background, but he was making the suggestion that the Iranians, not directly, but through their proxies, might try to cause an attack on the U.S. or Israel right before inauguration to get back at President Trump for killing the bad guy over there, and but he wouldn't have enough time to retaliate back. And I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Well, there has been some chatter, and I believe the guy you're referring to is General Soleimani, who was one of Iran's top generals, a very bad guy, responsible. He's got a lot of blood on his hands, responsible for the death of many people, sending out terrorists and just an all-around bad guy. We took him out, the military took him out January 3rd, I believe it was, last year, 2020. And this year, the Iranians have been very vocal that they are going to get revenge for the death of Soleimani. And they had been saying that President Trump only has a few more weeks to go, not just in office, but on this earth, they said. In other words, they're going to kill him, they said. That's the threat that they're making. And then they're also making the threat. And there's a couple of sources that you can find. There's a good website called Jihad Watch. They've got a I think a little bit on there, talking about some things that are going on. That's not quite the one that I was thinking of, though. There's another organization, the Bagans. It's a institute. If I find it, I'll call it up here. But it's an institute in Israel, and they put out a report predicting that Iran was going to attack the United States on January 19th. Well, that will be Tuesday, just 2 days away. And the reason for attacking on the 19th is they stated, this is the Begin Sadat Center for Strategic Studies in Israel. And the article is headlined, "The U.S. and Israel Prepare for Iranian Revenge." And they had published this at the beginning of the year. And their claim is that Iran wants to punish President Trump by attacking him and attacking the United States and Israel before he leaves office, but late enough that he doesn't have time to mount any kind of a counterstrike. Israel, on the other hand, and this is where I was looking at the some of the reports from Jihad Watch. They had covered some reports showing where Israel had struck some Iranian targets inside of Syria. And one of the ideas is that the Iran is going to use proxies such as Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, and different places as an effort to attack Israel, and perhaps some sleeper units and some others to attack the United States, perhaps inside the United States, or certainly overseas, American interests overseas. So this is a credible threat. This is one of the reasons why President Trump has some B-52 bombers on station in the Middle East right now. This is why there's, I don't know which carrier group it is, but it's stationed off in the Indian Sea. We have a place out there, the Dago Garcia. It's a British American naval military base out in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and it's within striking distance of Iran. And we have beefed up forces there. And of course, Israel has been carrying out some strikes against different threatening groups in Syria. I just saw here in the Jerusalem Post that two rockets were launched at Israel from the Gaza Strip, and Iran had given money to Hamas, who controls the Gaza Strip, in the past, in order that they can get rockets and things to lob at Israel. So, yes, this could be a very dangerous time here this coming week before the inauguration in terms of an Iranian threat. What's interesting about this is the Bible talks about a attack that will come against Israel in Psalm 83. And I was talking about this, I think, a little bit on our Friday program this past Friday. But one of the things that they're hoping to accomplish in this Psalm 83 attack, and this is yet a future attack, but in verse number, let's see, Psalm 83, let me read this here, where it says, and I'll start in verse 1, "Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." And the events of Psalm 83 have not taken place. I'm not going to go through all of it right now, but suffice to say, when you see something like this in the scripture that has not been fulfilled entirely, then that is reason to believe it's a prophetic statement that will be fulfilled in the future. And part of what takes place in this is this attempt to wipe out the nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Well, until 1948, when Israel declared its independence, nobody knew that the new nation would be called Israel. It kind of surprised the world, and yet here it is in the Bible. And also, there's a number of people groups that are listed here that are confederate against Israel to destroy them. And if you look at the people groups that are noted here, it's Edom and the Ishmaelites and Moab, the Hagarenes, Gebel, Ammon, Amalek, the Philistines, inhabitants of Tyre, and the children of Lot. And what this describes is the area around Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, parts of Jordan and parts of Iraq. And in some related passages, it also talks about Elam, the bow of Elam being broken. And that would be a portion of what is modern day Iran that actually holds some key elements of Iran's nuclear facilities and nuclear weapons program. And Israel's announced that they may attempt to strike at them. So these areas are described as being destroyed in here. In fact, it says in verse 13, "Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." And I'm looking at the clock here. I know there's other passages that describe the destruction, for instance, of Egypt. In Ezekiel chapter 29, where in Ezekiel chapter 29, it says verse 8, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring a sword upon thee, and cut off man and beast out of thee, and the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord, because he hath said, the river is mine, and I have made it." He continues, "Behold, therefore I am against thee, and will make thy rivers, I will make make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, from the tower of Sang even unto the border of Ethiopia. No foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years. And I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them through the countries." It goes on later to say that they're brought back. But this dispersal of the Egyptians and the land being completely desolate, with no foot of man passing through it, has never happened in history. So again, this is something that we would conclude is likely a future event that has not taken place. And interestingly enough, these countries that we're talking about are not mentioned in the more familiar Ezekiel 38 battle, where a Russian confederation invades Israel. Well, Syria and Lebanon and Egypt and what would be Jordan and Iraq today are absolutely not mentioned in that. Well, it could be that the Psalm 83 battle takes place, and these nations are eliminated. Isaiah 17 talks about Damascus being destroyed overnight. In the morning, it's there, or in the evening, it's there, and in the morning, it's not there anymore. And there's also passages that indicate that Babylon, which would be, of course, in much of Iraq, are completely destroyed, to where nobody will go there. The shepherds won't go there. And if that's the case, then these things have not happened yet. Damascus has never become a ruinous heap overnight. There's not large swaths of Babylon that nobody will go to. No shepherds will go there or anything like that. That's not taken place. So these are yet future. And again, if these are yet future, then it could very well be that this is the result of the Psalm 83 battle, where these countries are destroyed, but Israel survives. These threats, and we see Iran threatening, could this be something that triggers these events? It's possible. I think as Bible-believing Christians, we ought to consider that that could very well be the case. And if that is the case, and we begin seeing these things take place in the world around us, and even here in the United States, as Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, when you see these things begin to take place, begin to happen, he said, we're to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. So hopefully that helps you out there a little bit, Kim.
Yeah, that was really good.
Oh, thank you. And I appreciate the call tonight. And I know we got just a couple minutes more. Is there anything else you wanted to ask with that?
Oh, that's all. Have a good
one. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for the call tonight. And God bless. And just a reminder, we're going to be on for another half hour in just a minute or so, a couple minutes. We're going to take a break. And I think we've got a couple people on hold, at least one on hold. And if they'll continue holding till the second half, we'll pick up our callers on the second half. Plenty of time to get in. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's word, let me invite you to give us a call tonight. You can call toll-free right now. Lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we would love to hear from you tonight. And like I said, we're going to take a break in just a minute. And I didn't hear Craig with the time there. I got about 3 minutes. Oh, I'm doing better than I thought. I got more time than what I thought. Let's hold on. How many callers do we have right now, Craig? We got how many? The whole board, you said? Oh, all right. Well, hold on. We'll get back in the second half. That's nice to know. And we will grab some callers in the second half. And again, let me remind you, be in prayer here this week. I mean, I heard Pastor Lutz on his program. If you've not listened to his program, For the Cause of Christ, it's at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons. He's on just before me on Friday afternoon. Sometimes we combine our shows. Sometimes he fills in for me. Sometimes I fill in for him. But last week he closed his program out with a statement, something to the effect of, whatever happens this week, next Friday will be a different world than it was today. And I think that's true. Whether the Harris-Biden administration comes in, or whether Trump pulls a rabbit out of the hat and hangs on for another 4 years, whatever the case is, I think we're going to see a world a bit different this week, or changes in the world this week. But you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our phone number is 888-677-9673. And we're going to get back to the phones here pretty quickly when we come out of the break. And again, I apologize tonight. I'm not in the studio, first time in 14 and a half years that I've not been there on a Sunday night. So I don't have the board in front of me, and I'm dependent on whether or not I can hear Craig in the phone. He says I got about a minute left. Again, let me recommend that you check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I've got some programs and some programs with Pastor Lutz where we have spent some time looking at what's happening in our country here recently. And so let me encourage you to check that out. I hope you'll come out and visit us at the Bible Baptist Church if you get a chance. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and you'll hear that information coming up right in just a few moments. So stay tuned. We'll be here until midnight tonight. So stay tuned.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And we are going to be getting into our callers pretty quick here. So let me just remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you'll find some materials there, as well as links to past programs and some different things that I've written. And I think it'll be a blessing. Also, links to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. So you can follow that link as well. We're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get right back into the program because we got a number of people on the phone waiting for us here. I'll give out the number, but we may have a pretty full slate right now. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I believe we've got Phyllis up first. Phyllis, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes. Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. Well, thank you. And did I hear you right? I missed the first part of your program, and did you say you have COVID?
Yeah, I'm on death's door here, as you can tell.
No, I know.
I'm not. My symptoms have been a slight headache, body aches, and very tired.
Yeah, you could tell it in your voice.
And a little raspy in my voice, too. That's true, and a little congestion. Yeah.
And I thought something was wrong because you were didn't sound right. But I didn't hear the part where you said you had.
And I'm also on my cell phone tonight because I'm not in the studio. So that affects things as well. Because obviously with the 10-day restriction, I can't be in the studio. So that's why I was lamenting. This is the first time in 14 and a half years I've not been there Sunday night. But at any rate.
Sorry about that, but I'm sure you'll come through it just fine.
If this is the worst that I get, it's not been bad. Now, I'm not going to say that everybody gets off as easily, but the majority of the people that I know that have had it, they've described it as it's like a cold or a mild case of the flu. Now, there are some people with other conditions. My wife is an RN. She's worked with people with coronavirus. And, of course, her and I both are quarantined, and we don't know where we got it. We might have got it because of the patients she works with. Who knows? But I appreciate the prayers. But like I said, I actually feel better tonight than I did last night. So.
Well, it's so good to talk to you. I think I've only called your program one other time, and that was just before September, the great big prayer rally that Trump had down in Washington.
Oh, yeah. And,
I now make it a point to stay up as late as I could on Sunday night just to hear you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, and I enjoy so much what you're giving us and the truth and what's going on. And my heart has been heavy, Pastor Al, for a long time now over what we're seeing, you know, and what they're doing to Trump and what's becoming to our what's becoming of our nation and what they're doing to the Constitution and so on and so forth. I just have to keep praying to keep myself up, you know, because of what we're seeing.
And that's true. That's why I'm trying to encourage people to not be overcome, but with fear and anxiety, but to look to the Lord. On Friday's program, I was talking about how we're kind of like, you know, when Moses led the Hebrew children out of Egypt, and remember, they were in the wilderness. They came up on the banks of the Red Sea, and they had mountains on either side of them. They couldn't go to the left or the right. They couldn't go forward because the sea was in front of them. And then here come Pharaoh and his army down the dry riverbed behind them, cutting off their only a way of escape, and as far as they were concerned, it was hopeless. There was absolutely nothing that they could do. There was no escape. Humanly speaking, it was hopeless until Moses said to stand and see what the Lord's going to do, and stretched out his staff over the waters, remember, and God parted the sea, and the Hebrews went through on dry land to the other side. Tremendous. Maybe we're in one of those moments.
And, you know, isn't that funny how you say that? Because it feels hopeless for Trump to stay in the White House and to continue his 4 years. It just seems so hopeless, doesn't it?
And when you hear the plans that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have for us, and when you, what was it, Katie Couric, I remember hearing her described as America's sweetheart or something, you know, newscaster, I forget what network she's on. And she's even talking about how people like you and I, Trump supporters, need to be reeducated and cleansed.
Oh, yes.
Well,
but
that's what they're calling for.
Yeah, and I have a question in regards to Vice President Trump. What is your thoughts on, I'm sorry, Vice President Pence?
Biden?
Your thoughts?
Pence. Yeah, we're both getting confused here. Yeah, Vice President Pence, in regards to?
In regards to Pence, when he was officiating over the Electoral College, I mean, I'm hearing two different stories or two or three different takes on him in regards to And one was that it was constitutional for him to just remain as a moderator, and then the other one was he could have done what he did, stuck up for Trump and go against the Electoral College the way it stood. So I don't know. I'm a little bit. Some Christians are even saying that Pence is a traitor, and he's He's even, I even heard a story from a Christian friend of mine that Pence has some kind of connection with the black arts from Indiana.
And I've heard some of that, but I've also heard from some people in Indiana who knew of him and followed his career in Indiana, and they said he's always had sterling, upright Christian character and testimony. Here's a question, and I use the term white hat and black hat, white hat being the good guys, black hat being the bad guys. And so the question then that really comes up, was Pence a white hat who became a black hat? Or was he a black hat who merely pretended to be a white hat? Or the third possibility, and the more I think about this one, this is where I'm inclined to find myself, is he a white hat who pretended to be a black hat pretending to be a white hat? Now, that sounds a little confusing, but here's my point. The language that he used when he presided over the certification of the electoral votes in the joint session of Congress there is different. He used different language, different words than what had been used in any of the previous vice presidents fulfilling that role. And when you look at it carefully, it looks a lot like he's saying, well, here's what it is, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but this is what you think it's going to be, and so this is what it is. And what I've heard from some sources, and there's some people that are absolutely convinced that he played the role of a black hat in order to draw out people who were still hidden away, who were deep state pretending, you know, they were black hats pretending to be white hats. And he drew them out by doing this in a way that the American people could see some of these Republicans in particular that turned against the president at that time. And now the reason for that also with this is that immediately after all of this, and of course, Nancy Pelosi's laptop was taken. Nobody knows where, nobody's saying where it is. And Nancy Pelosi admitted that it's taken on 60 Minutes. She's saying they took my laptop. And so it's gone. And, there's a persistent story that the military intelligence units have it, and they are studying it, and she's desperate to get President Trump out of office because it'll be used against her and all the other deep state people. So if Pence was a black hat, a really bad guy, he would know that it would be used against him. So when she said, I want you to invoke the 25th Amendment right away, she, remember, she gave him like 24 hours to invoke the 25th Amendment, and he could have done that when there were still some of his cabinet members before they jumped ship on him. Mm-hmm. And that would have been the perfect time, if he was really a black hat, to say, yes, I'm going to preserve myself as well. Let's get him out of office before he can do anything. But he absolutely refused. They even passed a resolution telling him that he had to invoke the 25th Amendment, and he still refused to do it. Mm-hmm. And so Nancy Pelosi has been desperate to get President Trump out of office prior to the inauguration. It's almost like she's afraid that something might happen before Joe Biden takes the oath of office. So, and then when you look at this absolutely unbelievable overblown military presence in D.C.,
yeah,
it really looks like they're worried about something. So
hopefully, to what you were talking about earlier about the threat from Iran to take out Trump in Washington.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're worried about much more than just that. And they're, like I said, they're desperate to get him out of office. And if Pelosi wanted to get rid of him, why would she call out the military to protect him? So, and then, of course, Vice President Pence and President Trump had a meeting where they supposedly patched things up.
Yeah.
And then he's been visible lately, especially with a lot of the security arrangements that are going on. And I go back to I'm sorry?
Which one was is invisible lately, Pence or Trump?
Pence has been very visible lately. He's been visible, not invisible. And he was complimented by the Secretary of Defense back not too long ago as assisting in the most complex military operation ever carried out in our nation's history.
Oh,
so what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? So, and so I'm cautiously optimistic for this week ahead, but I do think it's good that Trump supporters pray. Christians need to pray. I think it'd be good to have some food and some water on hand that if things go badly and you can't get out because of unrest for a week or so, I think that's a prudent thing. Hey, if you get invited to Club COVID and you have to stay in your house for 10 days, it's good to have food and water on hand. So
that's a good idea.
But hopefully that helps you out a little bit, Phyllis.
Pardon me?
I said I hope that helps you out a little bit.
Yes, that does. I wanted to get your take on Pence, but I did read this letter that they showed that he did stick up for Trump as far as the second impeachment.
Yeah.
Warned people not to do this, that it would cause unrest. And
so it's very interesting, isn't it? So I think with case like, remember they used to say on the TV shows, stay tuned.
Yes.
Stay tuned. There's more to come.
That happens.
Hey, Phyllis, I want to thank you for the call. I want to get to a couple more calls before we run out of time here tonight, but I appreciate that. Don't wait so long to call back. So I appreciate that, Phyllis. And thank you for that call. And I think we've got Elaine next. Elaine, welcome to the program tonight.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, Pastor. I love listening to you.
Well, thank you.
I think I've got an answer for that lady, and I think you're exactly right. He did what he did to expose the rest. McConnell and all the others have fallen now. But the answer to that will be found in Daniel 2, verse 20, where it says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the season, and he removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. So a good answer for her, because that just, you know, it's exactly, he raised up Trump over the others, and for a purpose. He was 70 years old when he came into office, and over him, blood moons. And I was always told that we weren't in, that we were gone. Hello?
You dropped there a second. You said, I was told that, and then you said something I missed.
Are you on? Wait 1 second, sir.
And, of course, we're looking at some of the things that are happening. I think our caller's having a little bit of trouble there with her phone connection. But, yeah, I mean, when we look at what's happening, and I agree, God is in control. That's how President Trump got there in the first place.
Exactly.
God got him into that position. And are you back, Elaine?
Huh?
Are you back?
Yeah. Revelation.
Okay, go ahead.
When Trump had those blood moons, he turned 70, Israel turned 70. And he was a Christian at the time. He became a Christian. And then he moved our embassy. You know, we had the blood moons and the eclipse of the moon. That always blesses Israel. And it came just over his beginning when he started in. But the amazing thing of it is, and another pastor brought this up, I thought maybe I would share it. It says, this is amazing, he moved our embassy, which he could have built one, for $4 billion, but instead he used one that was right on top of the wall, right next to Gary Airport. And this is what it says, 3.5 years in, when the dragon's kicked out of heaven, he seats himself on the throne and he goes after Israel. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Of course, that's Jesus. But the woman, who's Israel, was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for the times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. And that, to me, speaks volumes, that verse right there. And I think someday we'll watch Trump get his rewards by the Lord Wow, those are others are cast in the lake of fire. One other thing I wanted to say to you. You know,
well, let me point out, too, where you were reading from was Revelation chapter 13 for anybody that was following along. No, but go ahead.
12. It's 12, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. I read it from the Bible. Revelation 12, 13, 14.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the heading on the page. It's chapter 12. You're right. Yeah. I was looking at the heading on the page.
The other thing, that's okay. But, I do that, too. The other thing was abortions. I was constantly asking God for years. I said, God, why do they want to kill these babies? Well, then Bill Gates came up and said, we have 7 billion people on Earth, and we've got to get rid of 500,000. You probably heard.
Yeah, he wants the Earth's population to be no more than 200 million. And, you know, you and I aren't on that list. I'm sorry, 500 million. We're not on that list.
I thought Fox said 500,000, so I wonder. But at any rate, I couldn't figure out why they were so much into sodomy. And our little boys and girls to change their sexes and stuff. Well, if they want to lessen the carbon footprint, they call it, the population, God put us on Earth and said procreate. They're doing
be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And Elaine, I'm going to have to cut in here a minute because we're running quickly out of time, and I got a couple more callers waiting. You're going to have you call back again so we can talk about some more of this next week. How's that?
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate you brought up a lot of good stuff here, and I want to get at least another one or two callers on here. If we can. But do call us back. And you brought up some very good things, and we need to pray. God's not done yet. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And I thank you for bringing that out for us tonight, Elaine. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Mary Grace up next. Mary Grace, welcome. I'm sorry? Oh, Frank, I'm sorry. We've got Frank next. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Pastor Al. Hey, I think Americans have become very slothful and indifferent and stuff. I don't think people realize, or maybe they are starting to realize, that the president and vice president really don't run jack squat, that their vote means nothing. I think that's what we're coming to the conclusion.
I'm going to have to interrupt you a second there. I don't agree that our vote means nothing, because if God's people had not gotten out and voted in 2016, how was God going to put President Trump into office?
Well, only because they weren't prepared with their cheating voting machine.
Right, because they weren't prepared for all these people to come out and vote for President Trump. And then, of course, we know that the people who voted this time, you know, there's evidence that the Chinese and other ones were influencing the software where they were changing the votes to where if you cast a vote for President Trump, it might have been registered for Biden. So, God still expects us to vote and to do what we can, because we're to be salt and light in the world. And one day when we're taken out of the world, then, of course, the mystery of iniquity will continue on.
Well, that's correct. But the thing is that Harris and Vice President Biden, Joe Biden, they haven't, nobody's been prosecuted, but their day is coming. And I would listen to Steve Pachetti. Okay.
We got about 3 minutes left. I'm having trouble hearing you there, Frank. You have to speak up a little bit.
Yeah, I think Steve Pachetti is on target. And I think it's already been foreordained that Harris and Biden get in. But I think Mr. Pence is somebody that we can trust and depend on to be around after Biden and Harris are no longer in charge of anything, but maybe sitting in jail.
And that's entirely possible. I mean, because I fully understand that we may go into Thursday with Biden and Harris installed in the offices and Trump out. But at the same time, God may have a plan, and he may allow, you know, President Trump a way to have four more years. Unfortunately, we're about out of time here right now, Frank, and I'm going to have to let you go here, and maybe we can pursue this again in a future program. But certainly next week, we'll know more than we do today, won't we? So, but I appreciate that. And Craig, do we have anybody else that was waiting? I guess we can get her in for a few minutes here at the tail end. How much time do we have left? Almost a minute. Okay, well, Nancy, welcome onto the program here. We'll have to make it quick.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I'm not gonna bring up the subject I wanted to discuss. There's no time, but I praise the Lord for good technology, and if you're able to use it. And now, I wasn't clear on Friday evening. We were all set to go there, and then we got the call that you weren't going to be in the studio. But did you lead the lesson by Zoom? I wasn't clear on that.
Yes. And thanks for asking, Nancy. What happened on Friday at 5:30, my wife called me and said, guess what? I tested positive, so we can't go to Bible study tonight. And then, of course, by Saturday, we were both having symptoms and everything. And so that's so I addressed it via Zoom. So I think some of the people that were going to drive made the decision not to come down. But nevertheless, we will be doing it by Zoom or Google Meet next week. I won't be there in person, but we're out of time tonight, though. And sorry that we didn't get much time with you here, Nancy, but I want to thank all of our callers tonight.
Callers?
Yeah, I want to thank all of our callers tonight. And Craig, thank you so much for helping out as we're trying to do this under a challenging circumstance tonight. And pray for us. I'll have to do this by telephone again next week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.